Well, I enjoyed that. I want to tell the young people today how much I appreciate them. Appreciate them being willing to sing. And let's support them with our prayers. They have a wonderful talent that the Lord has blessed them with. I do believe, and let's encourage them, I do believe they could sing louder. And the reason I say that is because I've been downstairs and I've heard them when they're talking and eating pizza. And so they definitely have got some volume. And so let's encourage them in that. I'd like to share some scripture with you today as I begin my message. From Romans chapter 9 and also chapter 10. And if you would like to read with me, then I would encourage you to do that and turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 9, beginning with the first verse. Romans chapter 9, 1 begins by saying, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. And I would like to skip now to Romans chapter 10, and read the first three verses of that chapter. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And with those verses being read from Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, and Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, I'd like to present today as the title of my message, Let's Get a Burden. And we begin in the Sunday school class, the young adult class that I attended today. Towards the end of the class there began to talk about burdens. And last week I preached and I used the title, Let's Have Revival. And I mentioned to you last week that I wanted to clarify the title of the message so that it wouldn't be misleading, and said that we can't just decide to have revival and have it, because God only can bring revival. And I want to say today the same thing about a burden. We cannot decide to just have a burden and manufacture a burden. But I do know this, that if we will seek after the Lord, that He can burden the hearts of His people the way that we should be. And so I want you to think with me today as we look at this, what I believe a very important subject. One of the deacons, when I pastored at Fellowship, one of the deacons up there was teasing me one day after service. We had gone to lunch together, And he was teasing me, and he said, "Brother Miller, why you preach to us so hard?" And I said, "Well," I said, "because the Lord tells me to." And I said, "I sure wish you all would get straightened out so I could ease up." And so, you know, we just need to follow the Lord, don't we? And, you know, I can look at a church, and you can look at a church, and we can look at ourselves, and we can look at other people. And I believe that if the Lord asked me to make an assessment, oftentimes I would look at that church and I would say, "Well, I believe that they're in good shape." But you know, we just can't see what God sees, can we? And oftentimes I've stood and preached, and I guess I've even wondered, you know, "Lord, why would you give me that message?" But you know, God always knows what's necessary. And God, He can look into our hearts. You know, He doesn't just see oftentimes the way we see. God can look into our hearts, and God knows what's necessary. And we hear the statement oftentimes among our churches that someone will testify, or perhaps the preacher even may stand up and say that we should be the happiest people in the world. And you know, I sure don't disagree with that, because with what God has done for us, we've got a reason to be that, don't we? I mean, we've got the ultimate reason for being the happiest people in the world. But I'm going to tell you something else about God's people, and that is that we ought to be the most burdened people on the face of the earth. And I'm afraid that sometimes we have a lot easier time with being happy. It feels good to be happy, doesn't it? But I mean, it'll really bring you down when you really get burdened over somebody. And so it's a lot easier, I think, for us to embrace happiness than what it is for us to embrace being burdened. But last week, as I spoke to you about revival and how desperately we need revival, the Lord moved upon my heart in that message, and I spoke to you about the desperate shape, the horrible condition that our country is in. And you know, I have no doubt in my mind that there are many of you that were here present and heard as those things were preached about, that agree and are as well aware of those things as I am, that we do have some awful things that are happening in our country, and they seem to just get worse and worse all the time. And we have no problem agreeing with those things. But you know, I do ask myself the question, and I do wonder how burdened that we really are about it. And we certainly should be. And it seems that oftentimes that's one of our great deficiencies as a people, is we don't have any problem being hearers of the word, but we sure do with being doers of the word. And we don't seem to have any problem acknowledging things, but we do seem to fall well short oftentimes in doing what we ought to do about the things that we acknowledge. And folks, we need a burden. And I'll tell you what, before I believe that these things go hand in hand, because before we ever see true revival, we're going to see the hearts, our hearts, the hearts of the people of God are going to become burdened about it. We're going to become burdened about what's happening around us. We're going to become burdened about those around us that are lost and without God. There are people that you and I are in contact with every day through our individual lives, through working or whatever that our daily task may lead us into. There are people around us every day that are lost. And let me remind you of this, that they are on their way to hell. They're on their way to eternal destruction and damnation in a place where there will never again be any hope of redemption. And some of them, it seems, in fact, many of them are running just as fast as they can towards hell. And there are people here among us today, as far as I'm aware of, that are lost and in their sins. And if God calls them out of this life today, they're bound for a devil's hell. They're doomed to eternal destruction if God calls them out of this life here today. And I know today that those among us here today that are saved by the grace of God, I know and understand today that we certainly don't want to see that happen to anybody. But again, I wonder and I ask the question, how burdened that we really are over that fact. That there are people around us that are lost and losing their souls every day. That there are people right here in our service today that are lost and without God, and that are, you know, the Bible tells me in John chapter 3 about verse 17 or 18 that he that believeth not is condemned already. You know what? Those that are lost are already under the judgment and the condemning hand of God right now. And if they die in that condition, then there's no eternal hope for them. And you and I, we have no promise of another minute. We have no promise of another day. We don't know when death is going to come to us or to our loved ones or to anybody. I'm telling you, friends, it's dangerous. It is very, very dangerous to live one moment in this world lost and in sin. And I wonder how our hearts really grieve about that. And, you know, I want you to make note of something today that I asked the question, I wonder how burdened we are about that. I wonder how heavy our hearts are. I didn't say, I wonder how burdened you are about that. I asked the question, I wonder how burdened we are about that. I've been asking myself these own questions. You know, it's hard sometimes to preach. It's very hard to preach because I believe everybody that has ever been called to preach has had to face this. And I understand that it's important for the preacher that preaches the things that he preaches. It's important that we practice what we preach. But friends, listen, I don't know of anybody yet that God has called to preach that can preach his word without sometimes preaching to themselves. And I've asked myself these own questions. In fact, let me say this. Last night, as I sat in my study, and I went over these things, and I studied these things, and I meditated upon these thoughts, and as I tried to prepare this message, I found myself convicted by my own failures. I found myself thinking about my own faults, and I had to go, get up from my chair and lay things aside for a while. And I went to God and I prayed, and I, had to do some repenting before Him and ask God to forgive me of some things before I could even go on and finish the preparation of the sermon. And as I was praying there, and the Lord began to help me to pray. And, before I knew what had happened, I got hooked up with God. And, there's a place out there, friends, that, you know, I've experienced this in my life that, you know, sometimes we can go through the format of prayer, but then sometimes God will move on our heart and help us to pray. And you know, when you know that you have reached the throne of grace, what a wonderful place to be. And God helped me, and His Holy Spirit aided me as I began to talk to Him. And there was a good deal of time that passed, and I didn't end up getting a whole lot of sleep. But you know, that's all right. God will sustain. He'll sustain. Let me ask you a question, and I wanted to preach this today, this sermon today, with honesty and with integrity, and so I felt it necessary to confess my faults before you. But let me ask you something, and I believe it's I don't believe it's an unfair question. When was the last time that you got burdened enough about a lost soul that you laid down and tried to sleep and weren't able? Think about it. You know, you can only ask yourselves that question. I don't come to your house and watch you sleep. I mean, you've got to ask yourself that question. When was the last time that my heart ached so much for somebody that was lost that I laid down at night and tried to go to sleep, and sleep evaded me because I was so troubled about that, and I just had to give up and get up and go somewhere and pray? Friends, listen, I've experienced that in my own life. I've experienced times when I wasn't able to sleep. I've experienced times when my appetite wasn't very good because I was, you know, troubled about a situation, and I would just have to go somewhere and pray. But I'm going to confess before you again today that that condition doesn't visit me as nearly as much as it should. I wonder, throughout our churches, how burdened that we truly are. I wonder, as I preached last week, by the help of the Lord, as I preached last week about, the moral decline that we are seeing in our country today, and the lack of hunger for the spiritual things of God that we are seeing among the American people today, and the things that our children are being, forced more and more in our society to see that they shouldn't have to see, and live around things they shouldn't have to live around. And I don't have any doubt, once again, that many of you acknowledge those things to be the truth. But I wonder, did it throughout the week, did it drive you to your knees? Did it burden your heart? Did it take you to your prayer closets, pleading with God and praying to God? I told the Lord last night as I prayed, and I wouldn't have done this if God would not have put it on my heart. As I began to pray, I told the Lord, I said, I'm going to hang on. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be like Jacob was there in the days of old when he said, Lord, I'm not going to let go until you come and bless me. And I said, Lord, I'm just going to wait for you. If I have to wait here all night, if I have to go preach without sleeping, I'm just going to wait for you to come and bless my prayers. And I'm going to wait until I know that you have heard me. And I waited, and I waited. And I finally got up. And I went and laid down on my bed. I laid there for a little while, and the Lord spoke to me. And you know what He said? I mean, it wasn't audible, but it may as well have been. The Lord come and spoke to me, and He said, I thought you were going to wait. And I got up, and I went back into my little room, into my little study. The Lord has met with me in my little study
As I've studied His Word and prayed before Him, God has met with me. But friends, I'll tell you what, we need hearts that are burdened, that will cause you and I to be willing to wait before God until He comes and answers us. Because God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways, and God's thoughts higher than our thoughts. And we're too hurried in the world that we live in today. We have let time, I'm afraid, push us into such a hurried lifestyle that far too often when we pray, we just don't have time, or we don't take time to wait before God until He comes and answers us. You know, when we pray, we ought to know before we get finished that God has heard our prayers. We ought to know it. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. And that's what we need to do. And God help us to do it. Let me read this again. Romans chapter 9. I want you to listen to what Paul was really saying here. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Friends, what Paul was about to write down was absolutely true. He made a point of telling these people that I want you to know that what I'm about to say to you is absolute truth. I speak the truth in Christ. I lie not. The Holy Spirit is bearing witness with the very fact that I'm speaking to you the truth. And he said that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. You know what I call that? I call that a burden. Paul said, my heart is heavy. My heart is sorrowful. Why was it that? Why was that happening to Paul? Because he was so troubled about the fact that there were so many of his Israelite brothers and sisters that were not saved by the grace of God. It was tearing him apart inside. He said, I've got a great heaviness. Paul was carrying a rock on his heart. He was loaded down with care. He was loaded down with a burden. I've got a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. And he said, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now, I'm going to tell you what I believe Paul was saying there. You may have a different view on it, and I would encourage you to study it. But I'll tell you exactly what I believe Paul had happened to Paul. I believe his burden had got so heavy. I believe his care for these people and the fact that they were saved had burdened him so much that he had reached the point that if it were possible himself to give up his standing with Christ in order for them to be saved, he had reached the point that he was willing to do it. If it was possible, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. Paul wasn't praying to God to take his salvation away from him. I don't believe that. I don't believe that Paul was desiring that God would take his salvation away from him. I think what he was doing was he was trying to express to these people as he wrote how truly burdened his heart was over this. And he had reached a point where he would be willing himself, to be a sacrifice if it would take that in order for these people to be saved. Now, I've never reached that point, honestly. But I'll tell you what did happen to me. And I know that it would have never happened. I'm not boasting at all, because it would have never happened without God and without His Holy Spirit. But I'll never forget that when my daughter began to seek the Lord, and of course I was burdened for all my children, but the Lord for some reason just gave me an extra heavy burden for her. And I remember when she began to seek the Lord, and she would go to the mourner's bench or wherever she was at and begin to pray, I got so burdened over that girl that I would get down with her and pray. And friends, I would just lose sight of the world. I mean, I would just lose sight of everything around me. My heart was so troubled and so heavy when I prayed, and I got to the point that I was willing in my heart. I mean, I was very willing in my heart that if God somehow could have helped her by taking me out of the world right then, I was just ready to go. It would have been no problem at all for me to have given up my own life if it would have somehow helped her to find God. And boy, I'll tell you what, when she finally stood up and told about being saved, you can rest assured of one thing: she had a happy daddy. And I would to God that I would always have that spirit of prayer, don't you? I would to God that I would always be burdened about lost people like that. I'll tell you what, friends, I'm going to tell you two things today that I believe. I believe that if somebody really wants to be saved, that they can be saved. If the church is as cold as a mackerel, they can be saved. If they really want to be saved, they're sitting among us and their heart's desire is to be saved, they can be saved. No matter how far the church is away from God, they can be saved. But I'll tell you something else I believe. I believe, and the Bible will bear this out, I believe you will see more and more lost people have a desire in their heart to be saved when the church warms up to the Lord. I believe both of those things are true. I believe when we get a burden like we ought to have, when we get the type of burden that Paul had here, where our hearts just ache and there's spiritual pain inside of us because we have friends and we have loved ones that are walking around in this uncertain world that we live in, lost and in our sin, in their sins, and when our hearts get burdened to the point that they ought to, where we will go to God and we will intercede for them in their behalf, I believe we will see more people with a great burden in their own hearts to come to the Lord and be saved. I believe that's exactly what happened there at Pentecost. Those people had been praying, those 120 people prior to that were gathered in that room in one mind, in one accord, continuing in prayer, pouring their hearts out to God. You know, that deep abiding prayer always precedes revival, doesn't it? It always does. Jeremiah, he just wept and lamented and mourned over the condition of his people. Many have called him the weeping prophet, and that's what it was all about. That's what the book of Lamentations is all about. You read it. Oh, how doth the city sit, solitary, that was once full of people. He lamented over what had happened in the holy city of Jerusalem. It grieved his heart. He wept about it. You read in the first chapter of Nehemiah, when he came to Hananiah there and asked him about the condition of the post-exile Jews. And Nehemiah was told there that the people in the provinces, that they were in great affliction, and that the wall and the gates of Jerusalem had been burned with fire. It bothered Nehemiah so bad that he just sat down on the ground and he wept for days and he mourned and he fasted and he turned to God in prayer. And when he got finished with that, he got up and he set out on a quest to rebuild. To rebuild. But you know what? We're never going to rebuild, and we're never going to have the revival that we need to have, I don't believe, until the mourning comes first. Until the crying out to God comes first. Until you and I can look around at our country. Until we can look around in our cities. Until we can look around at the things that we see that are happening among us as a nation, as a people, and be burdened about them and truly mourn over them and get to the point where we fast over them and we pray to God about those things. We're never going to rise up and build until we go through those things first. When Paul was in Athens waiting for Silas and Timothy to get there, he looked at that city and he saw them wholly given to idolatry. And you know what the Bible says? It says his heart or his spirit was stirred in him when he saw that city given to idolatry. When you look at your city today, when you look at our country today, when you look at the shape that even many of our churches are in today, is your spirit stirred? Or do you just simply acknowledge it? There's a difference. There's a great big difference. Paul looked at that city of people there, worshiping all those idols while they were trying to cover all the bases. They had an idol built to everything in the world. And then they even had one with the inscription, to the unknown God. And Paul looked upon that scene and it stirred his spirit in him. And he went out to those people there and he began to preach to them and declare unto them the God that had made them. Friends, listen. Do you and I today, and I ask the question of all of us, do we get stirred enough today by what we see around us that we begin to go out and stand for God and to declare the things of God? I'll tell you, friends, what I believe, those of us in this country, the Christians of America, have been the silent majority for way too long. Way too long. We've not been stirred up enough by the things that we see happening to even lift up our voices in many cases and stand up for God. You can say, Pastor, I want revival. I'll say, friends, pray for a burden. I believe the people. I believe the churches. Have a desire for it. But don't tell me that you want it if you won't take time to wait before God and mourn and pray. And if you don't fast in your body, at least fast spiritually. Don't tell me that you want revival if you won't take time to do those things, because they're absolute prerequisites to it. I'm going to close with this. I believe Paul was standing on the threshold of having the love for people that Jesus had. That's what was happening to him. God had burdened his heart so much that he was right there at that point. Because when he said, I could, when Paul said, I could, if it were possible to be done, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my kinsmen, my brethren, according to the flesh. I could wish that if it were possible. And that's exactly what Christ did. Christ gave himself up to God, and he died in our place. He died on a cross where you and I should have died. Hanging on the cross, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. You know what he did there? He gave up his very soul to God for us. He gave it up. Gave up his whole being for us. He experienced for a moment of time when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He experienced as a man what it was like to be separated from God. He knew what it was like to be lost during that time when God had turned away, when his Father had turned away. His Son experienced what you and I go through when we're lost. And he completely gave himself for us. And I pray that you and I would be able to love people that much. That we would be able to be so burdened about a lost world that our hearts would ache, that our souls would grieve. I sure would like to see somebody saved today, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be a blessing today if we could see somebody come to Christ and be saved? Wouldn't that stir things up? Doesn't that always stir things up when we can see people come to the Lord and be saved by His grace? I saw a young man one time. I may get wound up here. I'll warn you. But, you know, whatever time we have is what God gives us anyway. I saw a young man one time. I was helping in a revival back in the middle 80s when Brother Holland pastored at Salem. I was helping that church in revival, and there was a young man. He was 18 years old. His name was Troy. And the first night of that meeting, he came up and he knelt right on the corner of the mourner's bench, and I was already finished preaching, and I just stood there and just stood on the at the side of the pulpit and just watched him, and that young man came up, and he was just, his arms were shaking and he was trembling and he was crying out to God, and he stayed that way for quite some time, and I mean, I was just glued to the floor there. I just didn't even want to move, and I just stayed there, and I looked down at the back of his head for I don't know how long, probably at least 30 or 40 minutes. I stood there looking down at the back of his head while he called up on God, and all of a sudden, he just raised up, and I mean, friends, if I've ever seen anybody shine, I mean, that boy was shining. You could see the change that had taken place in him. Friends, I desire to see that. People come to Christ and seek Him for salvation. And I would to the Lord that I would be more burdened to see that. You know what? We should have come here today, not just thinking that maybe it might happen, not just thinking that it's a possibility, but we should have come here today with great expectation of seeing those that are lost come to the Lord and be saved. We ought to expect great things because we serve a great God. I'll end my message with this, and then we'll have a song. I want you to think about the things that have been said today, and I'm going to close with this. If you'll pray for me, I'll pray for you. We need each other's prayers. That God would shape us and make us and mold us into what we ought to be. We ought to be happy, certainly. We ought to be burdened down also. So I'd like to ask everyone to stand. I'd like for us to have a song. If you're here today and you're lost, I would encourage you to seek after the Lord. He wants to save you. He wants to save you. I pray that God would help us that are saved to have hearts burdened enough that we could really intercede in prayer for the lost. And may God grant both of those things today is my prayer while we sing.
375.